Holy Gospel according to St. John. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet unbound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the gospel of the Lord.
As the congregation is seated, I invite my young friends forward for a children's message. We had a lot of first service this morning. All right, Jacob, we can do this one. All right. So this church, I won't start without you. Don't worry there, Rachel. Are you tired? But you got an extra hour last night. So the church is full of symbols. If you look in glass and on the wood and on the banners and on the pyramids. And so I found one today that has something to do with All Saints Sunday, which is the Sunday we celebrate. Tell me what this gold symbol looks like to you. Okay, it looks like we've got an X and a little P, right? Okay, now these are Greek letters. All four of these are Greek letters. And the X, that's the chi. And so when you pronounce it, it's a CH sound, right? They were smart. Instead of having to write CH, they just write an X. And then the P is not actually a P at all. It's an R sound, so like the R. So this is CHR, pro. Can you think of any word that's important?
Christ.
Christ. That's right. So Christ is there. That's perfect. And so this is a reminder of Christ. And sometimes when people couldn't write the cross or when they wanted to see it, they used the high row. That's what this one. How about these letters? Do you recognize these? Okay, second one is omega, kind of looks like a horseshoe in your Lucky Charms box. What's the first one? A or alpha in Greek, right? So you have alpha and omega. The beginning and the end, it's like you know this. All right, you know this because Dr. Armitage just read this a few moments ago. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So did that mean that anything happened in this world before Jesus? No, he's the beginning, right? Does that mean anything happens in this world after Jesus? No, because he's the end. Now, is Jesus always physically present in this world? No, he's with God in the kingdom of God, and another name for that is heaven. Well, that's the reminder of All Saints Day, that our lives and being people of God is not just about the time that we spend on earth, but it's the time that we spend as God's in life everlasting. And that's when you become a saint. And so All Saints Sunday is a reminder of all those who've been God's people from the beginning to the end, and us in between. So what's between the beginning and the end of this?
Christ.
Christ, that's right. So in the midst of our lives, this is a great way of remembering that no matter when we're born or when we're died, no matter how long we live, Christ is with us. And that promise was made to you at your baptism and will be with you forevermore. And that's the symbol of All Saints Day that we can remember with us, all right? So Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, Jesus is always with us. Got it? All right, let's say a prayer. Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for being everywhere.
Thank you for being everywhere.
And in all times.
And in all times.
And sending Christ to us.
And sending Christ to us.
Thank you for all the saints.
Thank you for all the saints.
Those that we love.
Those that we love.
And those we never do.
And those we never do.
That all of us.
That all of us.
Live in your glory.
Live in your glory.
And for that we give thanks.
And for that we give thanks.
We love you, God.
We love you, God.
Amen. Thank you all for coming up. We go back to you.
Let us pray again. God of grace and God of glory, on this All Saints Day, we give thanks for Mary and Martha and Lazarus. We have heard their story with our ears. Help us now to receive your good news in our hearts and in our minds. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes scripture passages make us feel numb. Our gospel text this morning is an emotional passage. Mary and Martha are grieving the death of their brother Lazarus. Their tears are mingled with the tears of fellow Jews who have come to be with them. In the midst of their grieving, no one understands why their loved one has died. They had sent a messenger to inform Jesus that Lazarus was sick. How could Jesus not come to them right away? Waiting for them, waiting for Jesus, must have been heart-wrenching for them. The scripture does not say this, but based on what we know about Mary and Martha in previous stories, it is likely that they prayed earnestly and repeatedly for healing for their brother. So we can imagine their desperate cries to God, their longing for Jesus to come quickly, and then asking, why? Why did Lazarus have to die? You see, Jesus was their friend. They had been with him, heard him preach and teach. They had seen him perform all kinds of miracles. Where was their miracle? Why not Lazarus? Even the Jews that had gathered with them were perplexed that the one who could heal the blind did not save this man from dying. We see Jesus' emotion in this passage. When he came to the crowd, Jesus was incredibly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved by what he witnessed among them, a grieving crowd. Note that Jesus did not rush through this painful situation. Jesus wept with them. Jesus asked to be taken to Lazarus' grave. It is there that God, in Christ, shared in their suffering. God in Christ was fully present with Mary and Martha in the midst of their loss and their pain. And it is there that Jesus will show the deep, deep love of God. This text brings us to a difficult and oftentimes painful reality: death. Experiencing the death of a loved one or contemplating our own death can be excruciating. Though not easy, sometimes we are better able to understand the circumstances of death due to a person's age or their illness. Then there are times when we are not able to understand the whys of death. The death of a child, the unexpected and sudden death of an adult, the mass killing of people in their places of worship. When we pray and pray for healing, and death happens anyway, our questions are deep, they are painful, and oftentimes they are unending. Our grief causes us to be numb physically, spiritually, emotionally. Sometimes we believe that God is not present with us during these times. This text is an emotional text, yet it is a powerful text. Jesus' power came through his words, as you heard earlier, when he commanded so matter-of-factly, "Take away the stone." His firm response to Martha was convicting. "Even to me, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And then Jesus prayed with gratitude, confidence, and expectation. And then the glory of God was revealed. Jesus showed that he has power over death when he said, "Lazarus, come out," and Lazarus did. God's love and grace was revealed in and through Jesus Christ and has been made known yet again, this time to Mary, to Martha, to Lazarus, and to all those who had gathered with them. Sisters and brothers, Jesus still has power over death. At the font, God names us and claims us as God's children and gives us new life. As we are baptized, God frees us from sin and death by uniting us with Christ in his death and resurrection. The Apostle Paul said it clearly. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. It is the crucified and risen Christ who is present with us in the bread and the wine at the table. To borrow from the Augsburg Confession, we are reminded that this is the presence of the living Christ, knowing that death no longer has dominion over him. Just as God in Christ was present with Martha and Mary in their suffering and in their loss, God in Christ is present with you and with me. Because Christ has been raised from the dead, we have the promise that we too will be raised and have new life. God's promises allow us the opportunity to draw strength and comfort every day, and especially during our times of distress. Yes, there may be times when we pray and God does not respond when or the way we are expecting. Healing may not happen. Answers don't come. We cry. We pray. We seek counsel from others. Our tears flow. And all the while, we wonder, where is God in all of this? God is present with us. Physical death is part of life. It is a consequence of sin, and through God's grace, it is not the end of human existence. The sacramental promises release us from our numbness. Death is a transition to more life with the triune God. Death does not have the final word. Jesus has the final word when he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. This is the good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.